Welcome to episode 20 of Experiencing His Victory audio blog with Terry Tynder. This is the place where I read the blog, so you don't have to. Today I'll be reading How Ungodly Beliefs Are Formed, Part 1, from experiencinghisvictory.com. This is the first part of a six-part series that investigates eight major ways that ungodly beliefs are formed in our lives. Part 1 shows how ungodly beliefs are formed through a wrong view of God. How ungodly beliefs are formed. Now that we have a full definition of ungodly beliefs, it's time to consider how they are formed in our lives. We'll examine eight major avenues through which we receive ungodly beliefs. There may be more, and if you think of one, send me an email. But this will get us started in our search for understanding. Through a wrong view of God. J.B. Phillips wrote a little book called Your God is Too Small. In it, he describes 12 wrong views people have about God. He believes that people have created false images of God which hinder them from coming to a true knowledge of God and His ways. These views of God make Him too small and in some cases overly human and weak. A wrong understanding of God can hinder us from responding to Him as He desires. The 12 views Phillips presents are God as 1. Resident policeman, 2. Parental hangover, 3. Grand old man, 4. Meek and mild, 5. Absolute perfection, 6. Heavenly bosom, 7. God in a box, 8. Managing director, 9. Secondhand God, 10. Perennial grievance, 11. Pale Galilean, 12. Projected image. Even without understanding Phillips' definitions for each view of God, you can see that God is pictured in a huge variety of ways, and each of these views is incorrect and blinds the mind of the one believing. A wrong view of God will block a true understanding of who He is. If you have a wrong view of God, you'll have a distorted view of what He thinks. You will put words in His mouth, so to speak, and hold things as true that God does not say. In order to understand how this works, let's consider two examples of wrong views of God that give place to ungodly beliefs. God is an angry, vengeful, and hate-filled God. There are groups of people who believe that God hates sinners. Maybe you've seen them at work on the news. They're the ones with the big sign saying, God hates fags. They're the ones with the rage-filled faces screaming at the women entering into an abortion clinic, murderer, baby killer. They are convinced that God hates these people and takes joy in sending them to hell. Now, just so you don't go ballistic on me and think I'm soft on sin or approve of homosexuality or abortion, God considers both of them to be a sin, and so do I. I want you to understand that I'm attacking above is the incorrect view that people have about God hating sinners. God does not hate sinners. He loves them. One of the best known verses in the Bible verifies this. For God so loved the world, of which each and every person is a sinner, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. There you have it, in black and white. Well, in red, if you're reading it in a red letter edition of the Bible. God loves sinners. He really, really does. That's why He sent Jesus. Yes, God loves sinners, but God hates sin. He will hold people accountable for every sin they commit on the earth, and if they fail to receive Christ, send them to hell. Just because God hates what a person does in no way means that he hates the person. Let's consider what kind of ungodly beliefs a person might form who believes that God hates sinners. The one sinning against God. God hates me. I just said it, but I'll say it again. God loves sinners. God proved his love by sending Jesus. Jesus loves sinners and proved it by dying on the cross to save them. If you ever wonder if Jesus loves sinners, consider what he went through on the cross. I'm unacceptable to God, so I can't go to him for help. The truth is that you can go to God. Jesus died on the cross to make a way back to God. He died so that we might be reconciled with God. Sin separates us from God, but Jesus will cleanse us from our sin and make us acceptable to God if we come to him and trust in his sacrifice on our behalf. God is against me. God's for you. He made a way for you. He's calling you to himself. He has done everything necessary for you to come to him. All you have to do is believe. God rejects me, so I reject God. God's not rejecting you. It's your sin that separates you from God. It's your choice to reject God's grace that keeps you from enjoying friendship with God. Reject the lie that God rejects you and turn to him. I'm already going to hell, so what's the use of trying? You don't have to go to hell. God never takes delight in the death of the wicked. He has come to save you from the judgment of hell. Jesus saves you from the wrath of God. If you go to hell, it's by your own choice. Believers, God hates sinners. Well, we've already seen that this is not true. I have to hate sinners because God does. If God hates sinners, it would make sense that you have to hate sinners. Therefore, you can't show compassion, mercy, or grace to a sinner. But you already know God loves sinners and extended his grace to them. We must minister to sinners with mercy, not judgment. I can't make friends with sinners, or it'll displease God. Well, Jesus blows that lie right out of the water by his actions. He went to seek and save the lost. He ate with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, etc. He did it so much that the Pharisees called him a friend of sinners. Being friendly to a person does not mean that you accept his or her lifestyle. We are to love people no matter what their sin and extend the grace and mercy of Jesus. Don't forget that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Romans 2:4. Well, I have to constantly show my displeasure for a person's sin or I will not be standing for the truth. No, you don't. It's no wonder that people say that Christians are judgmental. If you feel that you have to show your displeasure every time you see someone who's a sinner, they will run from you when they see you coming. Jesus did not come to the world to condemn it, and he's not asking us to do so either. You are to love the lost and seek to bring them to Christ. God is love. This is one of the major truths revealed in Scripture. God is love. Knowing this should cause us to run to him for help. He loves us and has our best interests at heart. God does not hate sinners as stated above. He loves sinners and he proved it. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. God's incredible love was the motivation behind sending Jesus to die for us. John 3:16 reminds us that God so loved the world that is each and every person ever to exist, that he sent Jesus. God's love is massive. He loves all people equally. He has made a way for every person who is willing to come to him. The trouble comes when people misunderstand God's love. Let's look at some of the ungodly beliefs that relate to God's great love. I'm unlovable. God loves others, but he doesn't love me. If you feel unloved or unlovely, you're convinced that God does not love you. How could he? Other people don't love you, and you don't love yourself. It's so easy to project your feelings onto God and believe that he does not love you. The proof of his love is Jesus on the cross. God can't love me. I fill in the blank. You think God does not love you because of something you are, you did, or was done to you. You believe your sin is too big for God to forgive, but it isn't. Jesus died for all the sins of the world, all of them, even yours. A God of love would never send someone to hell. If God does not judge sin, he's not a loving God. God's love requires that he hold people accountable for what they've done. Sin always harms others. If God were to dismiss someone's sin against another person without just cause, it would not be loving. As you can see, believing any of the above lies would definitely impact the way you view God and others. That is why it's so vital to have a correct understanding of who God is, as revealed in the scriptures. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's post. It's part of a series called Seven Invisible Barriers to Spiritual Growth. If you'd like to see all the posts in the series in one place, you can go to our website, experiencinghisvictory.com/invisible-barriers. That's experiencinghisvictory.com/invisible-barriers. Well, I'm so thankful that you joined us today. If this post has blessed you and you'd like to receive more, I want to invite you to join us on the journey. Each week there will be a new blog post, an audio blog, and encouraging images uploaded to the site. You can sign up for our weekly blog digest and receive an email in your inbox every Friday morning listing all the materials that we've released over the past 7 days. The goal of Experiencing His Victory is to help you grow in your relationship with God. I have a desire to see you experience everything God has for your life. If you're interested in joining us on the journey, I want to encourage you to go to experiencinghisvictory.com/journey. That's experiencinghisvictory.com/journey. See you next time.